Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Queen Takes Camelot by Jolie Sue Burkhart, narrated by Tristan James and Cassandra Miles. Chapter 1. Lance. I felt so fucking useless. 400 years of waiting, aching, needing, straining to feel my queen anywhere in the world. I knew she was out there. Somewhere. I could feel her existence in the soft whisper of wind, the sparkle of starlight, and the melody of the rain. Guinevere lived. My queen needed me. And I was unable to go to her. I didn't know why she hadn't called me to her side, though I could guess all too easily. Most likely she wasn't free to call me. Or she was protecting me. I refused to consider that she might have given up on me after so many lifetimes of failure. I had failed her, and she'd died, not once, but many times over the lifetimes of our curse. My beautiful, generous, laughing queen's life snuffed out by bitter jealousy. We were doomed to live out the same tragedy each lifetime. I'd lost not just my queen, but also my best friend and many of our other companions. The Round Table had never recovered. Camelot had fallen. Lancelot of the Lake was no more. On the bright side, neither was King Arthur, the man who'd killed our beloved. The man I'd tear apart with my bare hands on sight. In this lifetime, I had never been her knight, let alone her champion. The once famous Sir Lancelot had been reduced to hiding in a goddess-forsaken hellhole in the middle of nowhere, and attempting to drink myself blind. Urgency ground my bones to dust, tension constantly strained inside me. Desperation warred with helplessness. I needed to go to her. I had to do something, even if I had absolutely no idea where she was, or worse, where our enemies were. I was certain they waited for the slightest hint of a misstep. Scowling, I tapped my empty glass on the bar. The bartender shot me a wary look to judge how drunk I was, shrugged, and poured me another shot. A human might have been poisoned by so much alcohol, but it didn't affect most of my kind beyond slowing us down. A couple of drinks dulled the ragged edges of my nerves, a fucking blessing, even for a few hours. But I would have to be careful. I never knew when the call would come, and the last thing I wanted to do was show up incapacitated to a fight. And there would be a fight. There always was. We always died. Selfishly, I preferred to die first. Because I fucking hated watching my queen die. But it was inevitable, until we figured out how to break the cycle. Even with the roaring desperation lowered to an urgent hum, I still wanted to pound some steel, crack some skulls, and drain the blood from a couple of humans. Risky thoughts that would damn my soul before I could ever find Guinevere. We Aiema had few rules that we had to live by, but feeding on humans was an unforgivable sin. The goddesses had given us great power and magic, but we couldn't feed on humans or risk eternal damnation. Queens provided the stability, structure, and yes, the blood upon which we fed. Without my queen, I was a walking, talking time bomb. It was nothing less than a fucking miracle that I'd made it this long. I heard the door thump open behind me, but I didn't turn around. Heavy steps approached in a cadence that I knew well, even though no chainmail or spurs jingled. Not here in this modern world of cars and cell phones. The man leaned against the bar and jerked his head at the bartender, who immediately dropped a cold beer in front of him. In the original legend, Bors was supposedly my cousin. In this lifetime, we weren't related by blood or house at all. Yet somehow, Bors and I had found each other, even without our queen's call. There was an echo between us, a resonant memory of all that had passed before. He was one of the good guys. I could trust him, even with my queen. I knew it, as surely as I knew that Guinevere lived again. She had loved him once upon a time. She would love him again, as I did. For nearly 400 years, we'd roamed the remotest places that remained on Earth, trying to stay sane and free until our queen could call us.
"You're late,"
I said gruffly, turning to face him. About my height, but thicker, with solid muscle, Bors was dressed like a modern human in ripped, worn jeans, a plain white T-shirt, and heavy motorcycle boots. He wore his dark hair buzzed short, giving him a mean, fierce look. Not that he needed any help looking tough with all those tats covering his arms and the scar across his forehead. Without answering, he tipped his head back and drained the bottle in one long swig, opening his throat so the liquid poured into his body without the need for swallowing. He fed exactly the same way, preferring to puncture the biggest vein and guzzle the resulting fountain as it poured down his throat. My cock throbbed. It had been entirely too long since either of us had fed, but we had to be careful. Most Aiema could sniff each other out over time, especially if they were feeding. At heart, we were predators. Blood on the air was just as attractive to us as chum in the water for sharks, and Aiema blood carried a special pheromone that was a dead giveaway to our kind. I couldn't remember all of the other lifetimes I'd lived out this dire curse, but betrayal was always at the core of my failure to save Guinevere. It wasn't that I distrusted Bors, not at all, but if we were together, it would make it easier to kill two of our queen's blood before she could even call us. Until she sealed our bonds, we had no power. While we were physically stronger and faster than humans, we couldn't shift until our queen's blood flowed in us, which made us nothing more than pawns on the triune chessboard, easily picked off and leaving our queen exposed. However, pawns had the freedom to move on the board at will, and so that's what we did. We stayed away from each other to maximize our coverage on the playing field, while staying out of any other queen's reach, because that was definitely something I'd learned long ago. Some queens call the blood for love, others call the blood for power, regardless of the blood's desire to serve her. A queen could force a bond on even the most unwilling blood if she was determined enough. The memory of being trapped in such a blood bond lifetimes ago still made knives twist deep in my stomach. I turned back to the bartender, grabbed what remained of the bottle, and headed for a table in the corner. Another man sat with his back to the wall, watching the room without moving a muscle. Even though we hadn't come into our power yet without our queen, Mordred could hide in plain sight. A trick of light and shadow, or simple illusion. I wasn't sure. He wasn't invisible, but he could make my eyes skip right over him if I wasn't paying attention. He'd been fucked over by history, too. If Guinevere's adultery was blamed for Camelot's fall, Mordred was labeled a traitor, and Arthur's death laid at his feet. Most stories had him killing the great king and dying on the battlefield. Sometimes he was even Arthur's son. Some said he'd tried to steal the throne from Arthur while he was away trying to kill me for falling in love with Guinevere. Others had Mordred marrying Guinevere, which was closer to the truth than anything else. I took a seat opposite him, and Bors sat between us, positioned to keep an eye on the door. Mordred had chosen a remote island off the coast of South America as his hiding place. Bors roamed Tibet. I'd chosen the Gibson Desert of Australia, our current meeting place. I was sure more of the original knights were in the world somewhere, but in most of our lifetimes I hadn't encountered them. They weren't as close to her as I had been, or even Bors or Mordred. I had to assume they'd already died in the long years of this lifetime. These men were my brothers, Bors my lover, when we were together. We hadn't seen each other in a decade, yet I still didn't know what to say. The only people other than our queen that I cared about were Merlin, Arthur himself, and Elaine Shallet. Arthur would kill me if he had the chance, especially if he could find me before Guinevere was able to call me to her side. Elaine... Cold sweat broke out on my forehead. My sanity wouldn't survive another encounter with her. Not in this lifetime. I'd rather be dead than serve her again. But my queen. I couldn't abandon her to her fate again. I had to stay free. which meant I had to gather as many of her blood as I could. I knew where Merlin was, which meant either Arthur or Elaine would be nearby, waiting to spring the trap. Maybe both of them. They joined forces before. "Any news?" I finally asked Mordred. He might be on a remote island in the middle of nowhere, but he always knew court dealings. I had no idea who his contacts were, and I didn't know if he'd tell me even if I asked.
"There's a new American queen. Treyun's running scared."
Bors grunted beneath his breath.
"I'm not buying it. The Treyun doesn't fear anything."
Mordred lifted a ceramic coffee cup to his mouth and took several sips. How the man could stand to drink hot coffee in the middle of the desert, I had no idea.
"They fear Isis's lost daughter."
Bors whistled softly.
"Well, yeah, shit. I would guess so. Where'd she pop up from?"
"If they knew, no one's saying. My guess is they can't say."
I pushed the whiskey bottle away from me. If we had to wade through Triune shit to find our queen, then I would need all my wits about me.
Who's strong enough to lay that kind of gash?
"A queen's mother, I'm guessing. Evidently, the daughter's existence is a bit of a shock. She's strong, too.
My contacts say she's already been to Mexico, and was headed to New York City to deal with House Sky. North America will be hers, and with a solid foothold in Mexico, the rest of the Americas may soon follow."
"Could she be our queen, then?" Bors asked. "Guinevere was always fearless like that."
I exhaled and allowed my eyelids to flutter shut. Blocking out the world, I strained with all my will to reach my queen, to pinpoint her location, anywhere, a hint of where she might be, what she was doing, if she was well. I strained until my heartbeat thudded heavily in my skull. Shaking my head, I sat back heavily in my chair and opened my eyes.
"If she was our queen, surely I'd be able to feel her. Especially if she's as strong as you say."
"Since she's already taken several blood, I don't believe this queen is ours."
Mordred set his cup down before him, though he wrapped both hands around the ceramic as if warming himself.
"I choose to believe it's a sign. A sudden new queen, shifting power struggles, someone even the Triune fears, the tide is turning. I have to believe that means our queen will be free soon."
"We must be ready," Bors said, his voice shaking with emotion.
"Yeah, me too." My heartbeat raced, even though my mind cautioned me not to get excited, not to hope too much. We'd been devastated so many times before, but this felt right. Hope burned in my chest. This time it would be different. I'd find her. I'd save her from Arthur. We'd break the curse, somehow. I refused to consider anything less.
"The real question is, do we risk trying to free Merlin now?"
Mordred asked softly.
"Or do we wait and hope she can call us first?"
My hope crackled with ice, shards that cut my heart to ribbons. I didn't answer right away. I wasn't necessarily the best one to make this decision. Alphas weren't supposed to be afraid, or to hesitate to make a decision that affected his queen and the rest of the blood. But alphas weren't made to be forced into service and raped, either. Elaine Shallet had taken me by force, not in this lifetime, but in many previous ones. My blood, my bond, my mind, and yes, my body. Numerous times over the centuries, the thought of falling back into her control made every muscle in my body rebel. The risk was astronomical for all of us. If our queen's alpha was taken by another, what hope would Guinevere have of defeating Arthur and breaking the curse? How could the rest of her blood defend her if they had no alpha to guide them? But if I went to our queen's side with only three blood, she might not be strong enough to protect us all. In all likelihood, we'd be defeated yet again. She'd had 10 blood before, and we'd failed. because we hadn't been complete. We hadn't freed Merlin. The legendary wizard had been locked in Avalon since before Arthur had even cursed us. Over the many lifetimes since, we'd failed over and over. Guinevere died. We died. Merlin was the key. We needed him. Our queen needed him. But if we failed to free him, we'd die before she could even call us, and a queen with no blood of her own would surely die too.
I say hell no, Bors said, his voice as hard as steel. We know he's crucial. We'll all die without him, but we've tried to free him before and died. We can't risk dying before she calls us. Or worse, if we lose Lance to her, then how can our queen possibly defeat her?
We have to face the probability that Arthur already has our queen, Mordred whispered. Perhaps that's why she hasn't called us.
Rage surged through me, a hot, thick flood of hatred and fury that choked me. As much as I dreaded the thought of ending up in Elaine's control again, I'd rather serve her indefinitely than lose Guinevere to Arthur again.
No, Bors retorted. I refuse to even consider it.
We,
whatever I'd meant to say, died on my tongue. My head rang like I was standing in the top of Notre Dame, while Quasimodo clanged the bells all around me. The call. My queen. My senses locked on her halfway around the world. I couldn't hear her voice in my head, not until I tasted her blood. But she tugged on me like the moon drags the tides. I was on my feet racing for the door. Someone grabbed my arm and I whirled, ready to tear the offending hand from his body for daring to slow me down. Bors. I lowered my fists, though I still vibrated with the call. Finally, goddess above, thank you.
We go together, Bors said,
squeezing my arm until I nodded. The chances of one of us failing to reach her would lessen if we protected each other's backs. It made perfect sense, even while I screamed internally because they weren't moving quickly enough. Mordred threw some bills down on the table to cover our drinks and slipped past me through the door.
What the fuck is taking you so long?
Chapter 2. Gwen. Engulfed in flames, I screamed his name until I had no voice left. Lance! Lancelot du Lac, my lover, my alpha, my blood. But he never came. He couldn't. None of them could. I knew it was a dream, but I still couldn't wake up. My eyes burned from the smoke. My skin charred, split and tore away. My lungs throbbed with pain. The building slowly crumbled around me. Wake up! Panting, I jerked upright in bed. I swallowed down the useless tears and frantic cries. The pleas for help, they'd done me no good then, and they certainly wouldn't help me now. I flipped on the bedside lamp, even though exhaustion ground through my body. I rarely slept because of the nightmare. I remembered being burned alive by my husband, or rather, by her husband, my cursed ancestor Guinevere. The man of legend, lauded for his honor, had murdered me. Everyone knew the story of King Arthur, the once and future king. They remembered Camelot, his Knights of the Round Table, and how Queen Guinevere had destroyed it all with her adultery. Unfortunately, everyone preferred to forget the earlier accounts of his story that had been quietly brushed away over the centuries, like how he'd fathered a child on his sister, and then to hide his misdeeds, he'd murdered dozens of boys born on the same day as Mordred, or how he'd locked Guinevere in a tower and burned her alive. People preferred to forget the atrocities a powerful man could do to a woman when he wasn't well pleased with her. I would never forget, and goddess help me, this time I would have justice. The memory of Guinevere's death was engraved in my soul, even though it hadn't happened to me. I was descended from the original Guinevere and cursed to relive her suffering until her tragic ending could be righted. Somewhere out in the world, this very moment, the man who'd been King Arthur walked and breathed, looking for his lost queen, driven by his jealous rage to find me and claim me as his. I could only count myself lucky that in the last 373 years, he hadn't found me. Or maybe he had found me years ago, but had decided to wait until he could punish my lover too. Because Lancelot du Lac lived again. My destiny. The cruel love triangle I'd been relegated to live by history. Only there weren't three sides to this love story. Guinevere had loved Arthur once upon a time, and she'd certainly loved Lancelot. But she'd also loved Merlin, and several of her king's other knights as well. She'd refused to give up Lancelot, or any of her knights, which was why Arthur had burned her in the tower. If he thought I would choose him over my knights, wherever they were, I would kill him myself as soon as I laid eyes on the bastard. My cell phone rang, jarring me so much I almost knocked it off the nightstand trying to grab it. I didn't recognize the number. Hello? Gwen, are you all right? I recognized her voice, and now that I knew it was Shara Isidore, my new queen, I felt a bond shimmering with concern inside me too. She was far to the west, headed back to her home in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. In a matter of days, she'd killed the former queen of New York City and then flown to Egypt to kill the sun god Ra, leaving me in charge of the biggest city in America as her queen's sibling, with hundreds of former sky sibs to sort. That wasn't a complaint. I was actually thrilled with the prospect of such an organizational challenge. I'm fine. Are you home already? Soon. Her bond swelled inside me, and I braced for her to take control of me. She was the stronger queen. There was nothing I could do to hold her at bay if she truly wanted to push her way inside me. She'd know everything, see everything, feel everything. I wasn't trying to hide anything, and I was truly grateful for everything she'd already done for me. She was a saint compared to both of my former queens. Keisha Sky had tortured her alphas and made her entire court watch. And Elaine Shallet, oh, just thinking of her made me quiver with rage. Shara's bond quieted inside me, and she withdrew her power without forcing her way into my thoughts. I felt your pain, and I was worried. Her compassion, not just for the pain she'd sensed, but for not forcing her way into my head, made my eyes fill with tears. It's only an old nightmare. Only? She asked doubtfully. The pain was horrible, not just the physical pain, but... Her breath sighed out. The betrayal. Oh, yes, I knew betrayal all too well. How close is Lance? Relieved that she changed the subject, I concentrated on my approaching blood. They burned like white-hot fires inside my mind, blazing light and love and urgency as they raced to me. I knew one of them was Lance, and that he had two others with him, but I couldn't be sure who they were. Not yet. If only I could feel Arthur the same way, if I could warn them before he attacked, or if I could be on the lookout myself. But I felt and saw nothing, Elsa Miss, even with the additional power Shara had given me with her blood. Until I had my own blood, my powers would be limited. Close, I whispered hoarsely. Hours away yet, but they're approaching quickly. I think they'll be here by noon tomorrow, or rather, today. You mentioned earlier that what I'd heard of the legends wasn't the truth. Are you in danger, Gwen? I clenched my jaws a moment, fighting down the urge to wail and scream at the same time. I was afraid, yes, I was scared shitless, but I was also beyond furious. My rage burned inside me like a tangible flame I could feel scorching my bones. Yes, always. The curse repeats itself every generation. I'm torn from my blood by Arthur because he can't bear for me to love another. Even if Lance reaches me, I'm afraid we still might not survive. You probably should have listened to Cadis and chosen another sibling to hold your city, Your Majesty. Shara, she said firmly. And no, I chose exactly who we need in New York. Have you ever had a queen sibling before to help you fend off Arthur? I don't know. I can sense the past like a winding, endless river flowing through me, but I can't see all the bends and twists. I know the curse is his doing. I remember dying at his hands over and over and over. I remember losing Lance. I remember Arthur cutting off each knight's head while forcing me to watch. Once, Elaine Shallet had Lance collared like a dog, and there was nothing I could do to free him. She was stronger than me, because Arthur had refused to allow me to take my blood. But how could he do that? You're a queen. He shouldn't have any power over you. Do you know what an Aemma king is? Ah, that makes sense then. He can shift at will without a queen, so he's unpredictable, and even more dangerous. Exactly, I replied grimly. His beast is always a red dragon. Merlin saw him fighting a white dragon before Arthur's birth, and the red dragon always wins. And you're the white dragon. Supposedly, though no queen in my house has survived long enough to claim her power in several generations. Well, this time you have Isis's daughter at your side, as well as Coatlicue's daughter, plus hundreds of siblings that we've claimed for House Isidore. You have a foundation of power to draw from, whether your blood arrive or not, so use it. Use us. I blinked, unable to comprehend what she was offering. A strong queen didn't offer her power to her sibling, not like this. I mean it, Gwen. Her bond inside me shimmered with opal moonlight, but it wasn't soft or gentle. It cut like a glass. This isn't your battle alone. You have sisters ready and willing to help you. If you think my dragon can help fend off Arthur, then we'll turn around and fly right back to New York City in the morning. I didn't know what to say. I'd never had someone actually offer to help me. Not like this. My queen. Shara. She repeated firmly, though I could hear the smile in her voice. You are not alone, Gwen. Not this time. I swallowed the sob down, but tears still streamed down my cheeks. Thank you. You don't know what this means to me. I do, she said softly. I was alone for most of my life. I'll be home in another hour, two at most. The trip is taking us a bit longer than we planned. Should I be present when your blood arrive? I can have Gina ready the jet, and we'll fly back to you as soon as we reach Eureka Springs. I didn't answer right away. My knee-jerk response was to insist that she stay put. I wasn't used to asking for assistance. But this was bigger than me or my pride. If I could save Lance and the rest of my blood by accepting my queen sibling's assistance, then I'd go down on my knees and kiss her feet if that's what she wanted. But Shara had just faced danger I couldn't even begin to comprehend. She'd need time to heal and recuperate, and a much-needed few days of rest in her nest would probably do her a world of good. I'd hate for you to come all the way back here so quickly. Lance is close. If I could reach out to you. Of course, my bond is always open to you. At the first sign of trouble, draw on my power. We'll light the fuckers up. I let out a startled laugh. Sounds good. I owe Arthur a very large bonfire. Then it's a very good thing you've got a queen sibling whose gift is fire. She laughed, but her voice echoed with the dark, furious power of a goddess's retribution. No one's going to hurt one of mine and get away with it. What about Elaine? My voice cracked on her name. I still carry her blood. Centuries ago, House Camelot and House Shallet had come to an agreement that was supposed to end the bad blood between our families. Our once powerful houses had both withered over the years, thanks to the endless curse that killed our queens. Children were harder and harder to sire, especially queens. And I'm sure my aunt feared that if I died, House Camelot would disappear for good. She'd delivered two sons, but never a daughter. Mama had lived for decades with that generation's Arthur, and I'd come to believe that she'd relished escaping that life with her death. I never knew if she'd had a chance to love her Sir Lancelot or not. I'd only been 13 years old when I was given to Elaine to be her pet.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?